Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men podcast. Steve Hoare here today with Sam Walker and Jay Pearson. We're going to be talking about all the drama of Liverpool's deadline day. So obviously, Fabio Carvalho and that deal collapsing. We've got Nat Phillips leaves on loan. Neco Williams leaves on loan as well. We're also going to do a bit about the lads who stayed. So Origi and Minamino both didn't go anywhere. Both want to stay, fight for their places. We're going to round up the Luis Diaz stuff one final time, put a bit of a bow in that as well. So you guys who are watching along now on Twitter, if you want to go and watch the whole show with us live, do click the link in the description of this tweet, because we're about to go and do some fire content. So hopefully you come and join us. Hello, lads.
Hello, mate. How are we? Good intro.
Thanks very much. Appreciate that. Before we actually get into any of the stuff that I've just talked about, then I want to do a couple of kickoff questions. One non-football, one football, like we always tend to do. And obviously, if you guys are watching along live now, do use the live chat and let me know your answers. Or if you're one of our Club Legend Discord, head over to the Discord chat and you can get involved too. So I'm going to go non-footy first, non-Liverpool. And Sam, I think I'm going to go to you first on this one. From Adam Brocken at Liverpoolian_7 says, you're stuck inside the room for 24 hours with only a TV and a DVD player inside. The only film options you have are the entire Tom Hanks collection or the entire Tom Cruise collection. Which one would you take and why?
Do you know what? I think the intellectual answer is to go Tom Hanks, isn't it? And you know, Forrest Gump and all that. But I'm going Tom Cruise. I just think I could sit and watch all the Mission Impossibles back to back and proper enjoy it. Then I'd probably fall asleep for a bit anyway. And then I'd get up and watch, what's the new one? Is it Jack? I don't know. He's done another one similar to Tim Cruise. Yeah, they're good fun as well. All the older ones that he did. Yeah, I think, to be honest, it'd be more fun. Whereas I think Tom Hanks would have me crying and questioning my life at times and things like that.
No, yeah, and I think that in terms of passing time, of it, I think Tom Hanks is obviously clearly the better movie. Yeah. He's Oscar winners for a reason and stuff. But yeah, if you just want to pass some time, I can see the thrill of just going MI1, MI2, MI3, MI4. Yeah, I can see the point. What are you going for, Jay?
I'm going the opposite. I'm going Tom Hanks. I mean, don't get me wrong, Tom Cruise in Cocktail. That's one of my favourite Tom Cruise films. Sure. That's the only one that would pull me that way. But yeah, Tom Hanks just for Forrest Gump. Because it's just arguably one of the greatest films that's ever been made.
Is it The Green Mile as well?
Green Mile, yeah.
See, that's a good Jerker, one. But again, I'd be at the end of it like,
exactly.
Get me out of here. Yeah.
24 hours in a room.
Castaway, though, as well. That's just a boss film.
Yeah.
24 hours in a room with The Green Mile and with, like, Save a Private Ryan. It's an emotional drain on you.
Yeah.
Like, you'd have to go, you could go big Forrest Gump and you can do the fun ones as well. Yeah. But yeah, man, the emotional drain of some of them where you know what, with Tom Cruise, you know what you're going to get. You get a bit of War of the Worlds in there as well, which is similar. You get a bit of action.
And then I'm finishing with Big, because it's just the
bit more fun,
and then Toy Story, bit of fun.
Oh yeah, Toy Story and Tom Hanks. That's
what
it's
that
might swing it for me. So yeah, I was on the fence. I am going. Absolutely, I am going Tom Hanks.
There's room in our room for you, though.
I'll stick with it. There's loads of
scenes that you can get by in the Tom Cruise stuff. Yeah, I don't know anywhere you're going with that one. Some of the leading ladies in the movie. I'm going to go to a footy one then, and obviously at time recording, the AFCON semi-finals take place tomorrow and then the evening after as well. Obviously, there's a Liverpool representation in both of them, with Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane both competing in them. I'll start with you with this one, Jay. Liam Meadows says, would you rather Mane or Salah win the AFCON?
Be really rude of me to say I don't care, wouldn't it? But I'm going to answer the question.
Big fence there between me and you, Steve.
I'm probably going to go with Salah, and that's no bias towards either of them. I just think, like, because of it would give the rest of the world who do not recognise Salah as one of the best in the world the two fingers. It'd be great for him just to go, yeah, look what I've won, and I don't give a shit.
Yeah, in terms of the Ballon d'Or thing, we had this conversation in recent shows with me. You sound like it tends to be international competitions are weighted heavily. There's a reason why Modric gets to the final and gets there. There's a reason why Jorginho's voted the fair best player in the world. There's a reason, you know, Leo Messi has, and listen, I'm not arguing Leo Messi winning Ballon d'Or, but he won the Ballon d'Or because of his performances in the Copa America, because he finally got over the hump of winning the trophy. So if we're looking at that point, it makes sense that a lot of people would say Salah.
From that perspective, obviously, listen, I love Salah. He's wonderful. I mean, I'm not really that bothered about the Ballon d'Or stuff with him, to be honest. I think, if anything, it kind of makes him better. He just keeps getting better. So if there's more levels, then just keep voting him out, please. But I've said Mane from day one. I think we actually had a chat about this a few weeks ago, I think before it started. I just feel that Mane, he sort of carries the team in the same way as Salah does Egypt, except there's not as much of a gulf in talent there. There's actually some quality players in Senegal's side. They got to the final last time and he lost. And I've always just felt Mane was, in the grand scheme of things, slightly more underappreciated than Salah. Even though Salah's not winning Ballon d'Ors, he's generally appreciated as one of the best players in the world, and he has been for a while, whereas I think Mane has as well. And so I would like to see him sort of win that trophy and carry his team forward. I also think it'd be better for us, because in the summer, if we do decide to sell him, we get loads of money. Hopefully they also knock Egypt out in that qualifier and we keep Salah and he doesn't have to go to the World Cup. So there's method in all of this, you see.
Yeah, man. As it stands, obviously, the most likely to get, again, I am aware that this might date itself very, very badly, but like, it's Burkina Faso, isn't it? Burkina Faso, Senegal have got, and Egypt have obviously got a tough game against Cameroon. So as it stands, it already looks like Sadio's more likely to get to a final. As it stands, the favourites are obviously Senegal are the favourites, Egypt are their favourites, so Cameroon expected to win that game as well. I agree, I'm going to go Mane, because I think it could give him that boost. He looks like a fellow who needs a bit of a confidence boost. We've already given him a bit of a rock up the arse because we've just signed his replacement, or a guy who's going to give him real competition for his place. I think it'd be amazing for Sadio to come back and go, ah, you've just signed him, have you? Well,
here's me medal.
I'm going to be in the top five of the Ballon d'Or next year because I've just lifted that competition. I've seen how devastated he was when he didn't win it. I remember him missing a penalty in the shootout and he was in tears a few years ago. So I agree. I think Salah's got a lot going for him at the minute. I feel like Sadio could do with a little pick-me-up. I'll go to the comment section and see what you guys think. Now let's have a little look. We've got JP says, Senegal will definitely win it, but I want Salah too. And then Adri says, I think Mane's going to win it because they have players like Koulibaly, and I think right. I'm saying,
have you watched much of it? Like, I've been watching the Salah games, the Egypt games, the Salah games, just show
Salah games,
Mo Salah FC. Honestly,
they're so
one team, my team. But mate, they've crawled through the last two rounds, and it's almost like Liverpool 05. Like, they should not have been winning them games. Hung on at times, keeper making great saves. They're onto the third or fourth goalie now. They're bringing lads out the stand soon because they've got no more goalies. They're running out. So there's something about Egypt though. Yeah. They've just got that little special thing going. They keep getting through and straggling the way past top teams, so might be their year.
I've got a sense that it's going to be both of them in the final, and I think that's where we're going. As much again, Cameroon should beat Egypt, but I'm with you. Every time I've watched Egypt, they've got this knack of, like, by hook or by crook, they're just getting the job done. They're actually hard to score against, which they've actually got going for them a little bit, despite the problems they are.
Goalies have been great, haven't they?
Everyone gets injured and the new one rocks up and he's brilliant as well. But yeah, I'm with you, mate. I've got a feeling that get both of them. I would go for Mane. I think, I don't think Mo Salah needs it. And I also think I think Mo Salah thrives off, like, getting pissed off or disrespecting and stuff, and I think that benefits Liverpool a little bit. Remember, I'm laughing. What do you think of Ballon d'Or? He just started literally laughing. Like, I'm a
panel. Jorginho.
I'm a panel like the 10th best player in the world. Sound. I can't hold with that. So yeah, I think I am with you. I'm going to go for Mane. Got Mane Salah. So let's again. We're going to speak shortly, guys, about the Carvalho stuff and the drama around 11 PM deadline. It's been a while since Liverpool got involved in these. I was getting flashbacks to Conor Pianca and Andy Carroll and all this kind of stuff. It was a place I didn't want to be in at 11 o'clock last night. I'll be honest. At like 9 o'clock, I was live on Twitter doing space, and I thought, this is all going well. And by 11 o'clock, the world started melting a little bit. So before we do that, I want to show you guys our latest feature that we got streaming on Red Men Plus, our subscription service. So essentially, if you've got Netflix, or you've got Disney Plus, or you've got Amazon Prime, or one of those amazing streaming services, we've got our own version, Red Men Plus, but it is all content for Liverpool fans. Earlier this month, we released an amazing documentary about the murals in and around Anfield, the people who painted them, the subjects of them, the people whose houses they painted on. So check this out, and I'll be back shortly.
when we first was discussing the ideas, I was a bit concerned, honestly, about how the people would take it, about having the Liverpool and the Everton thing. But we never had any negativity at all. It was completely embraced, and that's all down to the amazing work that Jamie and the 23 Foundation does.
If they'd have said, we're going to put one by Anfield, you'd put one lifting the European Cup or something. But I think where I grew up, if that's where they wanted to put it, in the Brunny or outside the Brunny, it had to be about me being where it was, where I grew up as a kid. Right opposite that mural is where I played heads and volleys, you know, in my Everton kit. So I thought it was almost like just a natural progression of when I was a kid, when I was a player, and sort of what we're doing now. And it was just nice that, you know, you could have the red and the blue with the, you know, that famous picture, you know, the girl and the lad with the 9 and the 6 on the back was brilliant. Obviously changing that now in the next couple of weeks, actually, to 97 for obvious reasons.
Jamie picked the image himself. He was very adamant that's the one he wanted. I think it's purely because, you know, obviously the innocence of kids, and it really enhances the message behind the mural itself. It really drove home what Jamie was trying to do.
It's lovely, yeah. I think for my mum and my dad, you know, that's where they've grew up their whole lives, you know, and for their sort of friends and family and the rest of my family to see that, you know, whenever they just go in the shop or go in the pub or go in the Brunny or whatever it may be, it is nice. And it's actually 20 yards from my mother-in-law's house, so she probably sees it more than anyone. It's on her street, the end of Spencer Street, so it's the in-laws, I think, who see it more than anyone. But no, that's, if I think about where I grew up as a kid, the Brunny's 10 yards away, the pub my dad owned is 10 yards away, the Solly, and behind there is my junior school, St James's, so that was me as a kid, basically, right there.
Yeah, so there you go. Do go over to the Redmen Plus and check out murals. The murals guide, it's absolutely amazing. Some amazing drone footage, first of all, but obviously speaking to the likes of Jamie Carragher, Jordan Henderson, Trent Alexander-Arnold, obviously the guys from Murals who painted it as well, and all of those things. Really, really cool feature. So yeah, again, head on over to RedmenTV.com, join Redmen Plus, and that is one of the amazing documentaries you will get along with our regular weekly content. Right then, guys, let's talk Carvalho.
There's a taxi.
So let's do the timeline of this first then.
Go on.
Okay. Liverpool get the Diaz deal done. We'll come to that later. The next day it turns out that interesting Carvalho talks are ongoing to try and sign Fabio Carvalho. We learn essentially what they want to do is sign him now for a £5 million fee and then loan him back to Fulham. As it goes for the other day, apparently there's negotiations about that fee and Fulham want more. We get to a point late last night, and it's quite late before the deadline. They were Liverpool and Fulham finally agree that fee, and then the race is on to get things done by 11 p.m. The issue is that it was two separate deals. They had to get the deal done for the signing and the deal done for the loan, and there's no way Fulham were going to do it unless there was time for both, because they didn't want to be stuck where they just sold the lad and they can't play him in the rest of their games. The offer sheets and all that doesn't count in the EFL. There was no such thing as offer sheets. So in the end, Sam Liverpool just run out of time. And Liverpool have not signed Fabio Carvalho yet. He is still... short term is, it doesn't really matter for the end of this next few months, because we ain't going to be playing for us anyway. The long term ramifications are now anyone else can sign him if they want to. The report, it was messy, wasn't it? Let's start there. It just felt like a bit of a mess. Like, it felt like Liverpool got themselves in somewhere where they haven't been for a long, long time, where they were racing against the clock, and it just felt scrappy when it didn't need to be. It wasn't a great look in the end, to be fair.
Yeah, I think, if we roll back a couple of weeks, I think the Diaz deal changed our stance on this, because I think earlier in the transfer window, we've obviously had chats ourselves and bits of information's filtered through. I think we were looking to try and sign him now, and I don't even think there was talk about of a buyback, but obviously Fulham weren't interested because they want to get back in the Premier League, which is fine. And then when we got Diaz in and we got that body in, because of obviously what happened with Spurs, as we know, I think it maybe changed our tact, and which is why we did it quite late. So now we've got a guy in. If we're going to sign this Carvalho, we probably can now wait till the summer. So therefore, the loan back bit came in. And then obviously they play hardball, etc., etc. So I do think there's a bit of a timeline of events that probably change each club's stance. But yeah, it's completely fair. The only way that deal would have happened is if he'd be signed to become a Liverpool player and then did the loan. It has to be in that order, doesn't it? And there was not a chance. If you've got to put a deal sheet into the Premier League to get that finished, you're never then going to get the loan done. So the EFL rules are a little bit backward, and I don't really understand why they didn't give us an extension. I don't know the rules on that. Maybe you can tell me. But you know what? The truth is, we basically signed Konaté in February last year, didn't we? So if this kid's got anything about him, he'll sign for us in the summer. If he goes elsewhere, then he clearly wasn't the type of player we want anyway. That's the way I look at it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And he would never have been a Liverpool player anyway right now. Mm. He would still be at Fulham.
Yep.
They, like Sam said, they're chasing promotion. They don't want to give up arguably one of their best players. It just was never going to happen. So the panic doesn't really need to be there. It's the fact that he's not ours and we might have missed out on him. But like Sam said, if the commitment's there, the commitment's there. And what the positive I take from it is the fact that Neco Williams has gone the other way.
Mm.
So there clearly is that relationship with the club.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah. They're going to be a handshake deal and say, listen, not now, but we'll go again in the summer. And we'll see what it's like, because this way, that's a little bit more sort of thread in our stock, so we might not pay as much money when it comes to the old tribunal thing and all that.
The flip side is Liverpool can still avoid the tribunal. I think it's important to mention that, by the way, guys. Yeah. So yeah, Liverpool can essentially do a deal with Fulham at any point. He can shake hands now and say, right, we'll sign, and he's ours. He won't be released. He won't officially be ours. Like, say, Konate was our player before that happened. He had an issue with Naby Keita wasn't actually on loan. It was a deal we agreed to sign.
And yeah, next year,
so
yeah.
It can be done. Like I said, there's loads of these things go about, Sam. So it looks like Liverpool are still confident that them and Fulham could... Well, and I say that Liverpool and Fulham are kind of in agreement, like this is going to happen anyway. Yeah. We've already agreed the fee. There's no need to change on that now. It does look like, I mean, James Pearce and Paul Joyce and Neil Jones and Paul Gorst all reported last night straight away. Like, it's still probably likely to happen, which makes you think someone's briefing them from somewhere. Mm. It feels like there is still a confidence that in the summer this lad will join us. He isn't ours yet. It feels like that's where we're going.
Yeah, and the fact that we loaned Neco to them shows that there's a good relationship between the club. Because if we were being horrible and we thought Fulham had done us over here, we'd have just pulled the plug on that.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that's the way football clubs act. And we'll be in constant chatting with them over how he's getting on and how Neco is. So there'll be constant communication going between the two clubs. And they owe us 12 million quid for Wilson from last year because of the FFP thing. So we've clearly got a good relationship there. If you look at the tribunal stuff as well, no one's ever paid more than 7 million quid for a player who's only played Championship football or the odd bit in the Premier Championship football.
Harvey Elliott at the time was a record. It was like 4.5 or something.
For a teenager, I think Danny Ings is the one. His is like seven. Six that rides here, eight. But I don't think we paid it all because of his knees, isn't it? So if we match that now, it's just there, isn't it? Let's be honest. Without them absolutely shafting us, which I can't see it, you know, he's gonna come to us. And like I said earlier, if Carvalho decides that he wants to go to Dortmund or Porto, which are the two clubs that keep getting thrown at us, then he's not the type of character that we want anyway. We want lads who want to play for Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't help last night as well when you've got a lot of major news people saying Liverpool fail. The deal collapsed. You know, Liverpool couldn't get a deal over the line after we'd just done the biggest one of the January transfer window. But using words like fail and couldn't do it and collapse, it's just, that's going to...
Collapsed is big, isn't it?
It's poking the fire. All of a sudden, like, collapsed. Julian Ward this, Julian Ward that.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it was, mate. You're right. And I was about to say...
The poor man just done a good deal.
I was about to say, Jay, like, this is the thing, is that everyone's saying it was Liverpool's fault. I mean, we might never know the reasons why, what point this happened, Sam, but it wasn't Liverpool, it was Fulham who wanted the money. Like, it was Fulham who were holding this. Liverpool wanted the player. They'd made it clear that apparently the medicals were already going through any just in case. All the formalities were there. Yeah. They had to agree for it, and then they had to get everything done. It just feels like whatever reason, Fulham had this number and they couldn't, Liverpool weren't willing to get to it or didn't want to do it or something. So I think when you say, okay, I agree, Liverpool failed to get it done. Like, I'm with you. Why are Liverpool going to spend 10 to 15 million pounds when if Liverpool can take the risk of getting to a tribunal and say, well, I'd be amazed if it's that. I imagine if I go to a tribunal, the tribunal would be pretty easy because it'd say they were willing to pay that, so just pay that.
Yeah.
I think it makes that's all kind of sorts of, I think you're right to reference there. So I'm like, it's messy from Liverpool. It's probably a bit naive to even get drawn into this at that point when you're scrambling around. It didn't need to get to that. But on the flip side, yeah, I do have a bit of sympathy for them here that it was basically Fulham who were like, nah, it's not happening.
Yeah, and I say the ball was in their court. At the end of the day, Fulham know he's not going to be there next year. Fulham also know they are desperate to get back in the Premier League, which they're on course to at the moment. So they just need to make sure they've got him playing football for them this weekend. This weekend they're playing City, aren't they? So yeah, they need to have him there. So I think we were always up against it. If they value him at 10 million quid and they know they're going to lose him in the summer anyway, then that's what they value him at. And we obviously had to negotiate that down. But I wouldn't be surprised, the kind of level that we operate at, when that was all happening last night, there would have been a phone call conversation. I would be gobsmacked if they weren't, to say, look, if we don't get this done, shall we now do an agreement that we can do it between any time and now? You know, like the backup plan to is, well, we'll just pay you this much instead of the compo. They've got to have had those conversations because they would have known the EFL rules. As soon as that extension got rejected, we weren't going to really get the deal through here. And yeah, they probably stopped at that point.
I suppose what I would say again, I think we're all in agreement, he probably ends up as a Liverpool player in the summer. Yeah. Like, they must really like this lad because they were moving heaven and earth to get him. They were, you know, they were doing the things that they've become accustomed to not doing. Like, the FSG got stung by this in the early years of their ownership and tenure. And since then, actually, with the Michael Edwards era, everything's actually been quite calm. We've either got a deal done or we've known for quite a while it's not happening.
Yeah.
It's never been, like, up to the point where they must really like this kid. And actually, there must be a little, again, there's Porto and there's Dortmund and stuff. It feels like Liverpool know there's interest in him. But I suppose that's a positive, that if our recruitment team think he's this good and that he's worth doing all this for, come the summer, we could be getting a hell of a player.
Yeah, the club's in a position of power, Steve, that we weren't back then. So, you know, we referenced off the camera and had a laugh, didn't we, about Conor Plianka.
Yeah.
Conor Plianka was never going to come to Liverpool, the state it was in. Whereas players want to come and play for us now, as young as Carvalho is, they want to. They can see the way the club's run and everything. So I'm not, you know, wetting the bed over the fact that we couldn't get this over line. It'll happen this summer, the same way the Canate deal was. You just got to get the right player at the right time. Last year, Kabak and Davis were the right players at the right time, but didn't materialise to be what they want. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Canate comes in and he's the right player at the right time, just the way it works.
I think Canate was the player they wanted. When they couldn't get it, he panicked and got Kabak. The good news here, Sam, is that you're right to reference, they didn't need Fabio Carvalho. They weren't going to get him anyway. So it's not like Liverpool are walking like into the next couple of games with a player they were desperately wanted. I'm referencing, like, for example, Watford here, who were desperate to get Dean Henderson and they didn't get him for whatever reason, or Newcastle wanted Jesse Lingard or whatever, West Ham wanted a few strikers. They haven't got them. Like, Fabio Carvalho was never playing for us anyway. So that does soften the blow. It's not like Liverpool have gone, like, with Conor Plianka, we needed him then and we needed him to play now. This is like, well, we were only doing this deal now to future-proof anyway. So in the very short term of trying to win four trophies this season, it actually doesn't make that much of a difference.
No, not at all. And as I come back to it, I'm pretty convinced that there's already been... There was conversations before 11 o'clock last night of, we'll just delay it because it actually doesn't affect anyone. Yeah, he looks a sharp player. Listen, his name's Fabio Carvalho. I'm all over that. That's got kids buying kits with his name on all over the world, and it's so... You know, as they say, if his name is Fabio Carvalho... Well, his name is Fabio Carvalho. And guess what? He's homegrown as well, so I'm all over that. No, but listen, it makes sense. Fulham produce lots of good players. They've got loads of lads who have come through their system. Elliot's another one. You know, they've always played decent football there. Yeah. They've never really been a long ball team, have they, since the days of, what was the old centre-back? Was it Hegeland or whatever his name is? What was his
the
name?
Big fella.
The big fella, yeah. Since then, you know, they've always played good football. You've seen bits of him. He looks the part. You've got Jurgen Klopp, you've got the perfect foils around him. Liverpool, the thing is as well, what I like about this deal is, and why I'm confident that he'll still choose us, is because with some clubs, you look at them and go, like Chelsea, for instance, they were forced into promoting three or four lads because of what happened. And Lampard was good for that, to be fair to him, so I'll give him his credit there. Before that, and even now, I'm not really seeing many players come through at Chelsea. If you're a young 19-year-old lad, you're going there to make their money. Man City, I've got Foden. There's a couple of ones bubbling around, but realistically, again, they're going to go and spend 60, 70 million quid in the summer on someone. United, well, Ronaldo, Cavani. Liverpool Football Club, we've got Trent. Nico's got loads of games. We've got, you know, young defenders, Nat Phillips and Reece Williams, who played loads of games. Harvey Elliott, Curtis Jones, and Katie Gordon's coming in now. All the young lads, Morton. So there's clear precedent there for him to come into this side and go, I'm going to get a chance to play a lot of football. I just don't see why he wouldn't. I'm really confident that it happens as long as we still want it to happen.
Yeah, I tend to agree there. I'm going to go quick before we do that. I had a super chat there from Stell, $14.99 Australian dollars. So thanks very much. He says, when you guys hear transfer rumours, which newspaper publishers do you believe and which ones do you discredit other than the obvious one, which isn't good enough for toilet paper? Chiefs from Liverpool, you'll never walk alone. Yeah, so in terms of the Liverpool local scene, Neil Jones, who we have in here every single week, I'm going to give Neil a shout out. Neil's often spot on. Paul Joyce is obviously the go-to in terms of most people's as well. The Echo, so Paul Gorse does good stuff. James Pearce at The Athletic.
Chris Baskin's quite good as well.
The usual Liverpool. In terms of abroad, that's when it gets really difficult because you don't know. We don't really know until we know with these guys. That can be quite difficult. We had a Pipe, didn't we, for the Colombian guy who kind of broke the Diaz stuff, and I wasn't aware of him too much of him beforehand. So, in terms of foreign publications, it can be quite difficult. But yeah, in terms of the English guys and the Liverpool-based journals, they're probably the ones that I'd go for.
Everyone, mate, cheer. If you're enjoying this podcast, then do go and check out Red Men Plus, our Liverpool streaming service, giving you tons of extra podcasts each and every month. There's Journo Insight, there's the Around the League show, the Debate show, the Opposition preview, and interviews with Liverpool legends past and present as well. Tons of content to keep you occupied, keep you busy, thrilled, entertained, and go deeper on Liverpool FC culture. Head to theredmentv.com, sign up and join us on Red Men Plus.
Right then, guys, I've got a competition to sort now. So obviously each and every month for our Club Legend subscribers on Red Men Plus, you get thrown into a draw to win a prize. This month's prize was a signed Jordan Henderson print. Only 25 of them in the world exist. So every single one of our club legends are in this wheel that we're about to bring up on the screen now. Was absolutely seamless. Top draw.
I've never been present for one of these. I feel privileged now.
Oh, yeah. So like I say, if you want to make sure you guys are in the half of next month's one, all you got to do again, Red Men Plus, become a club legend and you'll be on this wheel. We are about to spin said wheel now. It takes quite a while to spin, I'll just let you know. So drum roll, please. And the drum roll takes often longer. It's not the quickest. There we go. Congratulations and well done to Chili73. Congratulations, Chili. You are the winner of the signed Jordan Henderson poster. Ross will be in contact with you to get that sent out. So yeah, it's an amazing competition prize. It's basically the artwork that we had created for the Hendo 10 documentary by the amazing Yoni. We got Jordan to sign some of those and we've just given one to you. So do hope you enjoy that. If you want to be in next month's draw, like I say, you've got between now and the end of February to become a Club Legend subscriber on Red Men Plus. And spoiler alert, I can tell you what next month's prize is. It's a signed shirt by two former Liverpool League winners, Steve McMahon and Ronnie Whelan, the Crown Paints red kit framed. It's amazing. So yeah, if you want to be in the draw for that, all you got to do is be a subscriber on Red Men Plus, act the Club Legend tier, head on over to the website, click the Join Now button, follow the instructions and you can be on that wheel next month. Right then, lads, back to deadline day. Two deals that did get done. Let's start then with Nat Phillips going on loan to Bournemouth. Jay, I'll come to you on this one. It was strange because all summer, it's like, Liverpool aren't entertaining alone. Liverpool are going to say, the confident, if you don't like Nat, then he'll stay around and he'll be fifth choice and everything, he'll be fine. And then come to deadline day and maybe someone doesn't pony up the dough. And Nat really wants to play footy, which a credit to him, he deserves to go and play footy because he's not getting a kick at the moment. He's played in a couple of one dead rubber and he has an amazing moment in it. He played in half a League Cup game and other than that, we haven't really seen him. So I get it from his point of view, from a Liverpool point of view. My general feel on this was no one paid the big fee. So Liverpool have took the loan money. It's 1.5 mil. Mm. It could be 1.75 mil if Bournemouth get promoted, which they've got a chance of doing. Yeah. Nat gets his footy. It gets him in the shop window. He was never going to kick a ball anyway. Reece Williams was back, so he can cover. It did make sense in the end. I just think it's a shame for Nat, actually, that it's not a permanent move somewhere. He's in limbo again, isn't he, the poor fella?
Yeah.
At least he's going to be playing footy and he's going to get regular game time.
That's it. And a credit to him. We'll always be grateful for what Nat Phillips did for his last season, absolutely. And that should never, ever be forgotten. And I think when you get a January move, it's never the most easiest thing to do in terms of settling into a new team or anything like that. So he will get a bigger move in the summer. You know, when I say bigger move, that's no disrespect to Bournemouth. They might end up buying him anyway. But he'll get a nice send off from Liverpool in terms of that going in the summer. And we'll get a bigger fee for him. So it definitely was the right thing to do because, like you said, Steve, it's hard to get decent players in January for all right money, isn't it? So they're like, we'll get him on loan, see how it works, and then we'll crack on in the summer. And good luck to him. Really good luck to him. It'd be nice to see him play footy because he is a commanding centre half sometimes, and I just think it'd be really good to see him play.
He's got something on his hand. And this is the thing. I get apparently Liverpool's asking price was 15 million, which was never. I don't think anyone was ever going to pay. But I'm guessing there was a number they probably would have accepted. It might have been somewhere the 7 to 10 million range. Mm. Actually, we had Neil Jones in for Journo Insights a couple of weeks ago, and he basically said Nat's problem is he knows he's on a few teams' transfer lists, but he's not number one on their list. Mm. So Napoli took Tanzibi off Man United above Nat Phillips. Newcastle went and got Dan Burn instead of Nat Phillips. Everyone seems to like Nat Phillips, but they like someone else better than they like Nat Phillips. So I think actually it's quite smart for Liverpool to say, rather than just letting him, his value is not going to go up if he doesn't kick a ball between now and the summer. If he goes and tears the Championship up, then Bournemouth probably want to keep him anyway. Because if they come up or whatever, or they'll want him, there'll be a lot more teams interested, a lot more Championship teams think, right, it's not as much of a gamble. We know he can perform at that level. or again, Premier League sides go, actually, he is good enough. We know now, we've seen a regular sample size of him in a team that's attacking and doing well. It does make sense from a Liverpool point of view that they've gone, you know what, that one, yeah, fine, that's go and play for 6 months.
And yeah, and if you look at Bournemouth, they've just signed Phillips and they've got Cantwell. Hopefully David Brooks will come back soon for them. Hope he gets well soon. So they're going to be in a good position to push on. So I think they've got a strong deal. They'll really back themselves and that's a go up. Also, when you look at the financial side of it, we knocked back 7 million. You know, we've just got, say, just under 2 million loan fee, hopefully. If we wanted 12 million, well, we've already got 2 million of that. We might take 10 in the summer now. We've kind of made our money. So actually, it kind of works out financially for us. He needs to play football. One of the if you're Newcastle and you're considering Bairn or Phillips, and I could be completely wrong here, but I'm sure Bairn's played a lot more football than Phillips has this year. So it is tricky to cough up 12, 13 million quid for a lad who's played a game and a half in two games that were, you know, one meant nothing and one was pretty much won before it was kicked off. So from that perspective, I can see why he wasn't higher up. We did knock back a loan to buy with Watford, didn't we? With like an obligation if they stayed up, and they're going down, in my opinion, anyway. But yeah, I'm happy for him. I wish he'd have went, because I feel for Liverpool that saga needs to end, and for Phillips that saga needs to end. But it is what it is, and I'm sure he'll do well there. And I think we've said our goodbyes already, to be honest.
Yeah, I've got his appearance stats up, obviously, on the screen now. Tom can bring them up for us in a second. But essentially, this is from LFCSG, by the way. He played one game in 1920. He then has 20 games last 2021, obviously, injury crisis, and he was a big part of Liverpool doing well. And this season, like I say, he's made three appearances, two in Europe. And one of those, I think I'm right in saying, was like for a second against Atletico Madrid, wasn't it, when he comes on?
Did he, yeah.
He came on in the 2-0 for like a very brief time.
Okay.
He obviously comes on as a sub in that Preston League Cup game, like you mentioned, was already pretty much a dead game at that point. And obviously the Milan game, which he used in his welcome video to Bournemouth. Which
was that 24 games in total he's played for our football club?
Yeah.
That's mad, isn't it? We're even getting this much of a loan fee for him.
About to say, the fact that Liverpool can even say like 15, 20 minutes.
He's got a lot of stock though in his name, hasn't he? He really has what he's done to be thrust into the first team of Liverpool at such a young age with very, very limited experience and always changing bloody partner as well. Mm. The lad has done really, really well. And yeah, the fees get raised anyway because he's got a British passport.
Yes.
But, you know, he's got a lot of stock in his name.
Go read a few of the comments here. So Gareth Baird says, I think that might go to Milan in the summer just to show Ibrahimovic how to do a Cruyff turn.
The Brazilian. Yeah.
He's in black and white. He's in black and red. So the Photoshop guys have got an easier job now. They just need to change the mic, to change the badge rather than changing the whole kit as well. Bjorn says, if Nat starts for Bournemouth, I could even see him staying at Liverpool. We've got Keegan773 who says Bournemouth is essentially a shop window for Nat. And then we've got Retro Unlimited, who said Bournemouth bought themselves a wall to get themselves promotion this season. I'm with you, man. I think it's a win-win for Liverpool, unless he has an absolute stinker and is like absolute crap, and in which case then he goes for a cheap fee in the summer. Yeah. And that's the only gamble for Liverpool, is that we're backing that to go and do well, and I'm sure he will do. I agree.
Just on that, before you use the next link, sorry, mate. I just remembered that I don't think there's that much of an uproar with letting Phillips go because of obviously the way we brought Canati and stuff like that. And also, Seth Vandenberg has been doing very, very well at Preston. Very well indeed. Mm. You know,
the positives of alone.
Exactly.
And they did bring Reece Williams back to be that fifth choice around the place and play the training games and whatever. And he's there in an emergency if you need him. Mm. So Liverpool, touch wood, haven't let themselves too short. All the best in that at Bournemouth. I'm sure he'll do well there. He's got a lot going for him, isn't he? Again, only 24 years old as well. You've got to remember that. He looks like he's about 40, and I feel like you're paying on that. As a man who looks older than they actually are, Nat, I think it's a baldness of us both. Yeah. I do feel you're paying, but yeah, man, I hope he goes and absolutely smashes it there at Bournemouth. Right, then the next one, I think this was a more strange one. We touched upon this earlier. Sam, I'll start with you on Neco Williams then. One deal that does go ahead after the 11... PM deadline between Liverpool and Fulham, where that Liverpool have loaned Neco Williams out to Fulham till the end of the season. Whereas we have got backup options at centre half in terms of Nat Phillips we're adding on to kick a ball. I'll bring Neco Williams a stat up in a second, but before I do that, like, he was Trent's understudy. Liverpool have let him go for whatever reason. This one to me feels more of a risk and more strange. Like, what do you think the benefits are for Liverpool in this one? Because we see the benefits for the footballer. We get Liverpool have done him a favour essentially, but why do you think the club have decided, we'll do this now?
I think it's because you've got Harvey Elliott coming back into the midfield, which probably frees up Milner a lot.
Okay.
You've got Thiago coming back from fitness again, which frees up Milner. Gomez just seems like he's okay now. He's obviously had COVID, had injury problems. And you've got the young lad who'll probably play against Cardiff anyway, Bradley.
Conor Bradley.
So I look at it and think that draw has probably done us favours because we've got a home tie against the Championship team who are low down there, who Bradley will probably start against. So the only time I really see Williams starting for us or play is if the next round, if we get through against Cardiff, which we should do, is against the lower league side again. So there's not really much benefit in us keeping him when you've got Milner and Gomez and Bradley who can all cover that position adequately. You know, and I know Nico's a more natural fit, but you're not going to bank on an injury. That's just not how Klopp's ever worked, is it? So him going on loan saves, makes him happy because he keeps ratting on about Wales, doesn't he? Which we've had this conversation before. He doesn't even need to play a game and still go to the World Cup. And secondly, it also gives him the opportunity to play and either come back a better player or go in the shop window for a big move in the summer. I just think I was actually fine when we first heard that Nico could go to Bournemouth. So I'm even more fine that it's Fulham. Yeah. Because just as good, if not better.
Again, he's going to perform a smash in the Championship. So if he's going to play there, I suppose it's good for him. He's going to be playing in a team that I imagine is going to be winning a lot of football games.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hypothetical question, and I don't want to jinx this, so apologies to Trent Alexander-Arnold fans. I am touching every bit of wood I can, including my baldy noggin as well. Come here, Jay. And Jay's baldy noggin. We've touched everything we can there. If, for example, Liverpool were missing Trent Alexander-Arnold for a month, my general feeling before now was that Neco Williams would just play four games. Mm. Obviously now that can't happen, but if Neco was still here, do you still think Jürgen would have went another route? Do you think he'd have gone Milner, Gomez or Bradley, or do you think he'd have gone Neco? Because if the answer's Neco, then Liverpool have left themselves short. If the answer's one of the other three, then it doesn't really matter.
He has been trying different things, hasn't he, where you've thought that Neco will be playing, he hasn't played.
No.
So for me, that answers that question, is that's not what he wants to do. And don't get me wrong, Neco's done well in certain games when he's come on, so I can understand the thinking where people might panic a little bit, but Sam summed it up perfectly. Milner can play there, Joe Gomez can play there, Bradley is seen as the real backup now at the minute. So, yeah, I wouldn't be too worried in terms of what we can do. And plus as well, the job that the midfield do on that right-hand side anyway would help out whoever filled in.
Yeah, let me know, guys, in the live sections, obviously in the YouTube chat or on the Discord chat, who do you think should be Liverpool's backup right-back now? I'm guessing it's Joey Gomez. But again, I'm not, I don't know, I get worried when Joe goes out there, to be honest. He said he got the pace, I just don't know if he offers enough in attack. Milner's done fine there at times.
Milner played against City and Palace, didn't he?
Brilliant against Palace, and then got the arse torn out of him by Phil Foden against City, and that's the riskier. The flip side of that is, Phil Foden could probably tear the arse out of Neco Williams as well. He's as good as that, so yeah, I'd like you guys to let me know as well what you're thinking on it. In the meantime, bringing up Neco Williams, a stats up, reference before about game time and stuff. He's actually only played 33 games for Liverpool as Neco Williams. He's brought this season, he's made eight appearances this season. I'll click on those now. Of those, he started four and came on as in four others. I'll go slowly to look at the start. League Cup against Preston, Porto Champions League, which is by that point was a dead rubber game. AC Milan, dead rubber game, mm-hmm. Leicester League Cup. So this is my point. Like, we all keep saying Neco's this and Neco's that, but like, again, he's another one for whatever. He hasn't had the game time. I almost feel like by letting him go out on loan, Sam, it feels to me like Liverpool are going, actually, we're quite happy to go down the line without Neco, and I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't play for Liverpool again if he gets sold in the summer, and by which case this loan could help again boost that price up a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because if you look at the season in two parts, the first half of the season, the Premier League games are all really important, but the League Cup games are all, up until the quarterfinals, they're all pretty, like, you know, neither here or there. You know, if you go through, you go through, great. If you're not, you're not bothered. The FA Cup early rounds in January, the same. The Champions League, you need to win three games of football and you're through. By the time you get to the 31st of January, usually we've had two FA Cup games by now as well, by the way. It's just a little bit shifted, isn't it, because of this break. So usually by now, you're in the business end of every competition. And I think it's at this point where you can start going, listen, nice one for all your work in those games. See you later. And that's where I think we're at. Maybe a week early, but there's nothing we can do about that. So I'm with you, Steve. I think he'll go out on loan, do okay, and we'll get offers in the summer. And I think that'll be that. He's a good lad, but he needs to go. He needs a career. He's like Nat Phillips, but a couple of years young. He just needs to go and play football. And he's never going to get past Trent.
He's ever. International as well, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, it's got to happen for him.
For Wales,
it's like Harry Wilson. He's exactly like him. Good player, can play Premier League, top end of the Championship, but it's never going to happen for him at Liverpool. So go and have a boss career.
That's Ryan Kent. We've seen loads.
Solanke, all of the lads, yeah.
Yeah, Solanke is a really good one to put him up there. So yeah, Gareth Baird says the backup right back has to be Conor Bradley. As someone from Northern Ireland, Bradley is brilliant for us. At international level, yeah, right. And then Finn says Milner will be the backup. We know that because he played right back against Man City. Jeremiah then says, I'm not the biggest fan of Neco, but in playing games can really change his career around, like you said there. And then finally, Billy Bob says, Joe Gomez as backup fullback till the end of the season is okay. Same thing with Milner, it's only a problem next season if there's no long term plan. That's the thing here, is that it's going to be really hard to get a backup for Trent Alexander-Arnold. Like, Shimakas coming as Robertson's backup. And that's a little bit different, I suppose. He's going to get in and out of the team. Robertson's a little bit older. Like, to go and be Trent's backup is going to be... It's good. Listen, by all means, pay me 80 grand a week to sit on Liverpool's bench. There'll be some players who'll be signed with that. But, like, I'm not sure... It's not going to be an easy task to do that. And again, it's probably one of the reasons Neco wants to go, because he's looking going, I'm just not going to play. Yeah. That is something that Julian Ward and the guys are... If they're going to let Neco go in the summer, which I imagine they are, Milner's probably not going to be here... come past this summer. I know I'd be shocked if he signs a new contract. That is an area that coming into the summer, a second right back is going to be something that's going to be on the shopping list.
Yeah, 100%. And again, a lot of people in social media have been saying that we should have, you know, looked at a right back in January, but it's not the right time. We've got other priorities at the minute. And Sam said, like, you know, you get to the business end now of competitions where you need to start thinking about your squad just for this season and focusing. And that's what we're doing. But yeah, I do believe that maybe a Tsimikas style signing would be good, because obviously we've still got Bradley, who's a great talent, got a lot of potential, but he needs another couple of years yet. So I do think like a Tsimikas signing would be very nice on the right hand side.
If anyone wants to get in, if you want to ask Julian Ward, I don't know if he's got Twitter, but some right backs, or you know, put them in the comment section if you're watching the post the live show. Let us know which right back options you are likely to go for in the summer. Even throw it in the live chat if you want now, guys.
Do you know what? It's difficult with that though, because Robbo's unbelievable, but he plays like a quite simple way. The way he plays is quite, you know. I'm proper doing those credit here, but he's the best at it.
Up and down, left
up and
wing.
Down, yeah, loads of energy, in and out, makes smart runs, crossing. When Trent's out the team, it doesn't matter who you've got, you're missing so much. So if we go and buy a sub right back, he's just going to be an up and down. You're not going to get a lad who can spray the ball like David Beckham and De Bruyne from right back. It's just not going to happen. So it's very difficult to buy a sub for him, isn't it?
And it's one of the reasons why it's harder to rotate Trent, I think, than it is to rotate Robertson. Yeah. You know you're not getting as good a player when you push Tsimikas in, but you're going to get 80% of it, and he's going to do the similar things. If Trent isn't playing right back, Liverpool are just fundamentally a different team. And I'm actually got more... positive about Neco Williams and Morris Sorum, because when I first saw him, I thought, like, this lad is never going to make the grade. He just looked miles off it. He filled out, he got bigger, he got stronger. Doing the Wales thing seemed to help him a bit as well. He became a decent enough backup option where you're not amazed if he's playing, but you're like, oh yeah, I can kind of get it. But I can see why, Jay, like I say, like, he's from a Liverpool point of view, they have left themselves short though, and that's what I'm getting to, is like, We are, whoever plays, when Trent isn't available, Trent can't play every single game between now and the end of the season. He shouldn't have to be. They're either putting a very young, inexperienced Connor Bradley in, or they are moving someone from another position to put in. And when you start, when your backup is someone else who's a backup somewhere else, that's when the table can, that's when the squad can look a bit messy. Like, well, we've got two injuries in midfield and Trent's out, so now Milner's got to go there, and now you've got three lads out in midfield. That's the danger of your backups being other backups in other roles as well.
Yeah, Sam summed it up perfectly. When you lose Trent, you're losing that massive creativity on that right-hand side. But then maybe we need to learn about that as well, because there are clamorings for Trent to, you know, move into midfield one day and all that sort of stuff, which, again, just let's not even talk about that. So that's another conversation. But when you've got the likes of, you know, Joey Gomez, who has played it right back, you know, prior, he was originally bought as that right back for us and then obviously did very well at centre-half. So you've got those things to think about. But I think with Liverpool, if you are going to be dropping Trent and putting a defender in like Joe Gomez, who can do a job defensively, all right, yeah, we're not going to have that creativity. Let's look at it a different way and how else we can play football.
Yeah,
it forces you to change.
Yeah, you've got to. You've got to. A couple of options, a couple of shouts then. So Tariq Lamptey says Mustafa. You've got Max Ahrens says Travis as well. And then we've got JP who says Dubois, Leo Dubois. I can't imagine a 27-year... If you mean Leo Dubois from Lyon, I can't imagine Lyon's captain coming to sit on Liverpool's bench as a backup. I can see Max Ahrens coming, because that's what, kind of what Liverpool were thinking of doing at some point anyway, weren't they? And yeah, like I say, Tariq Lamptey, again, he's normal. He's good enough to play somewhere.
Yeah.
I think he's a fascinating player.
He's
but
got
again,
Manchester written all over him, one of them anyway.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes to Chelsea. Gareth Bale says sign Wan-Bissaka just to piss off United. I wouldn't touch him with a fucking barge pole.
No.
Absolutely not a chance. Absolutely nope. No chance. Right then, guys, let's move on. Then we've put that one to bed. We talked about people who came in and people who left. Well, let's talk about the two lads who stayed. There was interest apparently in Taki Minamino. There was interest in Davorka Origi. James Pearce reported this morning. Both are happy to stay and fight for their places until May. Good. I mean, first of all, good luck at game time is where we're gonna start on this one. Sam, Taki Minamino's found it difficult to get game time. I thought the fact he didn't start the Arsenal game was a major, major flag for him.
And Palace.
And yeah, the fact that he doesn't get on either of those games. Ox plays right wing in a couple of games. Even Brentford, Ox plays right wing, doesn't he, as well? And then obviously Kay Gordon plays at Arsenal and then Ox plays again at Palace. That's a red flag to Minamino. Origi's injured, so we'll never know what the plan is. I'm happy we kept both of them, because it doesn't harm Liverpool to have more good footballers around and more footy players around. But I was quite shocked that neither of those two moved in this window. I'm actually more shocked Taki didn't go than Divock. What are your thoughts on it?
I think it's interesting. I think Divock, they both probably didn't move because Taki's in a position in his career, isn't he? They both are, but let's talk about Taki for a minute. I understand why he didn't take any of the offers that maybe came our way, because he probably understands that he's not going to be around Liverpool much longer, but he needs to make the next move for his career. So let's just say he jumps on the back of a Newcastle or a Leeds or somewhere abroad where it's just a bit of a panic buy, and he ends up there, and it's a bit like Shaqiri at Lyon, where now he's not really starting and things aren't really working out how they're supposed to be. You're back at square one, but at a lesser club. So I think he's probably thinking, I'll wait till summer. You know, if I can get a game, I can get a game. I'm starting to enjoy it here. You know, it is what it is. Jürgen Klopp's obviously a great coach to work under. Maybe pick up a medal or two, and then I'm probably going to have a choice of a bit more, and he can choose where his family, his career go next. I think that's a big point for him. I don't think a lot of fans look at it that way. Oh, why don't you just get out? You're not going to get a game here. Well, you know, I think Origi should be a mad one. I mean, who knows where he is?
He's on a mountain, isn't he? I think I saw on Instagram. He was on
so he's fit then, is he? He must be if he's climbing mountains. I can't climb mountains.
Yeah, he's got the ski lift up there, but yeah.
I can't see him getting game time. We were talking about, Neil was talking about that that number of games to hit. Now we've got Diaz. I just don't see it. I think the club now are just going to probably have to let him go.
Yeah, and I suppose, Jay, on the Origi thing, Paul said this, and I agree with him. I don't know if I pose it to you. It's like Paul suggested, the value of having Divock Origi between February 1st and the end of the season is worth more than the nominal transfer fee that you probably would have got for selling Divock Origi. If you'd have got 10 million in January for a lad who's going to be 6 months out of contract, is injured and hasn't kicked that ball for ages, scored one league goal last season when Liverpool needs them. Granted, he scored, I think it's 5 goals already this season, but the fee was so small that you might as well just keep him. They did this with Genie. They thought, well, we could sell him now, or the value of having Genie for a year is worth losing him for free. It's different with Divock, because Divock obviously doesn't start every game like Genie did, but it feels to me they've just gone, like, for £5-10 million, let's just have Divock in case of emergency. we've seen it already this season on the Wolves occasion, springs to mind. He's still got that in his locker. He comes on at West Ham and scores a fucking worldy goal that no one talks about because we still lose the game. I think there's actually still value of having Divock around just as a break glass emergency. Happy to sit on the bench. Used to coming off the bench and delivering in big moments. Cool as a cucumber when it matters. Mm. I think the value is just, yeah, why just bin him off for £6-7 million when we can just utilise that ourselves?
Yeah, just enjoy him for the last 6 months. Just enjoy him. Just he's there in the squad. Divock Origi comes on. You never know what's going to happen. So, yeah. And then, you know, if closer to the end of the season, we find out, yeah, all right, he signed. He's going here, or we know where he's going. And he gets subbed off in the last game, you know, or comes on for the last 2 minutes of a game, and he gets a nice round of applause and a thank you.
He deserves that.
He deserves that, at least, doesn't he? So
yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I've got some comments here. In fact, I'll get to those in a second. I want to talk about Taki Minamino first, then, because this is the one we spoke there about. Just get out. Like, Leeds wanted them.
How close was that, though? I mean,
apparently, it's interesting. Well, he didn't want to go. I think he made it clear very early. I want to stay.
Yeah.
He moved to Liverpool in a couple of Januaries ago, and then the world turned on his arse. I think we have to give the fellow that. Poor fellow.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't know anyone. Isolated. Hardly spoke the language, and he was locked away in his house. Liverpool then loaned him to Southampton last January, and it doesn't really go well for him there. Another panic. The next move in his career, if it's going to be away from Liverpool permanently, I agree with Sam. Like, you don't want to rush that. Like, I can understand from his point of view, why would I? Even if I get... I'm just looking at his stats here now. He's played 8 games this season. 18 games, rather. Eight league games of those. He started 6 games and come on as a sub in 12. So he's actually kicked... He's done enough to justify himself being around. Mm. That's going to change, obviously, because we've just signed...
Interesting to see the minutes, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they're not great. Some of them are not great minutes. But from his point of view, it's probably more beneficial for his career. Say, you know what, I'll just stay here. And then I've got a whole summer. My agent can be on the phone now. Yeah. My agent can start belling teams now. Yeah. And just say, get me a move for the summer, rather than trying to rush into January, where he was never going to get an early January move because of AFCON. Mm. He was never going to get that. It makes sense from his point of view. Like, I've got all the time in the world. I'm going to leave Liverpool, I'm pretty sure of it, in the summer. But rather than just run into Leeds, get myself in a relegation scrap, go down on loan, come back, I'm back to square one.
And the uproar of moving as well and all that. You forget about these things, don't you? He's still a human being at the end of the day.
He might have children, a family, I don't know. But it all plays into it, doesn't it?
It does. And you don't want to uproot sticks where you just go, right, I'm still young enough. I still know that the next move, I can have a good few years of a career. So I'll just sit it out and ride it out and stay in the atmosphere of Liverpool. You never know what could happen. And he'd be really happy if, you know.
Barcelona, look at the players that starred in that game. You know, these things happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's, again, we said before, there's been an Origi. I still think now there's an Origi moment in this season at some point. I don't know when, don't know where, but there's an Origi moment. There might be a Taki moment as well. Listen, Taki had his one this season. The reason that Liverpool are in a League Cup final in a couple of weeks' time is because Taki had his moment against Leicester. There might be another one down the line for him. So I think, you know, fair play. We moan for our squad depth for a while now. We've got 7 attackers that you're happy to call upon in town.
They might both start against Cardiff because the two lads are going to be away regardless. Yeah. So there's a good chance they both start. And there you go.
Again, I think there's a tacky moment in this season. Then let's got 2 more questions. I've got one from the club legends and one from my own one. Then let's wrap up Liverpool's transfer window. So the main thing, obviously, is the Luis Diaz signing. Jay, Liverpool done the thing that we always wanted Liverpool to do. Someone else wants the player we want. Let's make sure they don't get it. Liverpool I've seen this happen too many times. I've seen Willian go to Chelsea. I've seen Mo Salah go to Chelsea. We've seen players who they were meant
Ericsson
to be ours.
Went to Spurs.
Alexis
Sanchez goes to ours. Yeah. We've been down this road. It's nice to see Liverpool go and bang, have a little bit of our Willy on the table. come on. That's what we've done here. We've just gone Tottenham, bang, bang, bang. Have a little slap of that in your faces. We're having the player you wanted. Liverpool acting like a giant superpower club in the transfer market. Perfect, isn't it?
Absolutely love it. And the fact that Daniel Levy was like trying to grass us up. Yeah, carry on. Just carry on doing it, because 10 years ago we were the same, you know, fuming the fact that they'd snipe players.
They took Sigurdsson off us, didn't they?
Yeah, not
that
we want him now.
But Clint Dempsey-ishness as well.
They're all there. There's, you know, I did a tweet where it was like, you know, it was Simba and it was like the circle of life. That's what happens, Daniel Levy. It is the circle of life. Yeah, we're now fucking you over. Yeah. Just the same way you fucked us over years ago. Get over it.
And, you know, you're absolutely right. Like, Liverpool have like a big club. It's amazing. What I would say is that he's someone who can have an impact straight away. You'd hope, Sammy. He could start a lot of games. He could start big games for now until the rest of the season. And it gives us that opportunity of rotation up front that I think Liverpool have needed, not only in terms of quality depth, but just the ability to say to Sadio Mane, have 2 weeks off. you're knackered. Yeah. Because I think we saw, I know, and Jota can go out wide there, I agree, but Jota's trying to establish himself as a centre forward as well. So now you can say to Bobby and Mane, have a week off. Rather than plugging in Curtis Jones on the left wing or Oxlade Chamberlain on minimum, you can go Luis Diaz there, Jota up front, Mo Salah on the right, fill your boots with that, lads. The options are now endless for the fact that Liverpool have got every base covered pretty much. You know?
Yeah, and when we're going for four competitions, you've got to be ready. I didn't think we needed anyone this January. I thought if we were going to do it, we'd do it on the 1st, 2nd of Jan. But the fact we didn't, I was quite content. Yes, we've got through it, buzzing, let's go hard the rest of the season. The fact we've just gone and signed a lad who multiple people have said is just stinks of a Liverpool player, and we've gone and got him. It's just amazing. It's the hype now, the buzz around Anfield is going to be brilliant. Just what we needed, in my opinion, just for that kick on at the end of the season.
We've said for years, haven't we, how City, when the way they can fight on four fronts is because they have, you know, really, really good players who can replace that front three. You know, so, you know, if Sterling's out, they've got a replacement. That's how it worked, wasn't it? And it's great now that we finally have him that way. We've brought in a player where we're like, oh my God, a player this calibre, we would have got in the summer anyway.
Yeah.
Is now got in January and he can help us during this run, like you said before, on all four fronts. This table should be rising a little bit. I'm excited about it. Speaking it's class.
I was going to say, when I said touch wood before, Jay's got a new.
Tell you what,
Jay's got a new.
Especially for a player I don't really know a lot about. You know, I've seen him when we've played, and that's the only time I've really paid attention. You know, I'm 36 years of age with kids. It's like you sort of lose track, don't you? You know what I mean? You lose track. So you only see these players for me when we're playing them. So I'm really excited by it, and I love the fact that so many people have done their research on him. They're saying everything about him. It's so exciting.
It is. Great. I always love a good old signing. The thing here, Sam, as well, is that Jürgen referenced the only deals I like to do in January are for players who would have signed in the summer and the opportunity presented itself. Mm. It's the reason Virgil van Dijk signed in January. They would have got him the summer before, and they were definitely going to try and get him the summer after. They got him in January. Luis Diaz, it looked by all accounts, as someone they were going to target in the summer.
Yeah.
Spurs come in. Porto would need the money, so they were probably going to sell to Spurs. Diaz probably would have had to go, because without him going, Porto were in trouble, so he's doing his club a favour. It sounds to me like he's got on the phone and said, I know you want me in the summer, can you come and box me off? And all Liverpool have gone, yes, and nice flexibility there, isn't he? Like, Liverpool are able to go, yeah, we were going to put it to the summer, but you know what, let's just go and do it now. That's nice to see.
And do you know what, we've done some good business with Porto recently as well, and it's a good link to have. They're a club that produce a lot of players. So I listened to your chat with the lad who does all the Portuguese football,
Aaron,
and he goes over and says how many good players, so keep that door open, you know what I mean. Listen, it's a fantastic bit of business, and Klopp always said, even last summer, if there's a player out there who I think can absolutely improve us, we will always go and get him. And it just proves now we're at the stage where Liverpool Football Club don't go and get anyone. We don't panic buy. We go and get players who we 100% believe can affect this team. And I am all for that. I am proper on board on that model. I think it's amazing. I'm so excited to see him.
Yeah, he can play Champions League football as well.
Oh, you really can. Go and have a look. There was a lot of panic buying happening on transfer deadline day. Lots of it. The lads next, there was a lot of things going on where it looked like teams were doing everything they could to just get anybody. Liverpool didn't need to do that. So we'll wrap up then with a question from Liam Bento in our club Discord chat. I've got it here on the screen. It says, what would you give Julian Ward as a rating out of 10 for his transfer window? Before you guys answer, Scott gives him a 10, Jif gives him a 9. He says the Carvalho thing is the only minor blunder, but yeah, it's only a minor blunder as well. What are you guys thinking? I think to go and get Diaz, to go and get money for Nat Phillips, that was just, it was going to be sitting around, is a positive. I'm unsure on the Neco Williams thing, I'll be honest. I think that's a risk that we'll see how that pans out. The Carvalho thing looks untidy. So I don't think you can call it a 10, because I don't think it's perfect, because perfect, Carvalho is a Liverpool player now, and based on what Liverpool wanted to do. But I'm happy to say, I'll go first. I think it's a 9.5 maybe, Jay.
I agree with Jith, what you said, 100%. Just because, like you said before, it's come out of nowhere, and we've ended up signing a player for, what was it, 45 million, something like that?
37.5, rising to 50 on add-ons.
Right,
they probably
there we go. So, yeah, at the beginning of the window, we're not getting anybody. We've come out of January, survived without the big two. We're fine. We'll be okay going for the rest of the season. All of a sudden, I am now like more happy and confident about the rest of the season now for pick up some silverware.
I'll go 8. Okay. What did you go, 10 out of 10?
No, I went 9.
I'll go 8, because 9 would have been maybe Carvalho wrapped up. And I think 10 would have been to sell Phillips and maybe one of the front two. I think the outs is just as important as the ins for us.
Yeah, you're right.
I think he's got to do two sides of the job. And so I'll go 8 just because, let's be honest, I was expecting a 4 or a 5, which means we're just as we are.
Yeah.
That's bumped out to 8, yeah. If we'd have sold Nat and maybe Tacky or Div, and then we'd have got Carvalho, you can have your 10, son. But I'm an man to please.
SG says 9. It would have been 10 if the Carvalho would have gone through. LTM LFC says 9 as well. Rachel gives him an 8. Sir Klopp gives him an 8. And Kopa gives him an 8 just for the Diaz move alone. Yeah, so yeah, I agree. Everyone's happy. Everyone's delighted. Don't worry about the Carvalho stuff, guys. If Liverpool want to get this deal done, and if the guy wants to play for Liverpool Football Club, then it'll happen. And if he doesn't and he wants to go and sign for Porto or Dortmund, well, all the best to him. Jürgen doesn't want to play, he doesn't want to be here anyway. He's literally, those words have come out of his mouth. If you don't want to be here, see you later, all the best. So we'll see how that one goes. Jay, thanks very much. Thanks very much. You guys at home, thanks for watching and or listening to the show. It's been a pleasure to have you. Like I say, if you're watching on YouTube, do give the video a little like. It does help us out. And do consider, like I say, going over to theredmentv.com and having a look at Red Men Plus. You saw the Muoros documentary earlier. That is live now. You saw the teaser for the Craftsman of the Cop banners documentary that will be out late next week. Also, between now and the weekend, we've obviously got a debate show that me and Ross are filming on Wednesday. We've got the Around the League show that we're filming later today. They both stream live on the website as well. We've got opposition preview ahead of the Cardiff game. After the Cardiff game, we'll have instant match reaction and final word. Honestly, if you need as much Liverpool content as you can in your life, we have definitely got you covered on Red Men Plus. So do go over and consider checking it out. Go and have a little look at the website. Have a look at all the stuff you can see. And I'm sure you'll think it's very, very much worth your money. So yeah, until then, guys, I'll see you all later. Ta-da.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com